It is, and it has been, my mi gusto, my pleasure, to have been here. And I thank everyone that's been so kind to us and the families. We have gone to their homes and eaten with them, and I appreciate and thank each one of you for that, and for the fellowship, and for school. I always learn something when I'm here. And I think that's the way it always should be. I hope it always is that way. Before I start, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for bringing us here safely tonight. I thank you, Lord, that we've all been able to come to this place. And Lord, I ask for your direction and the message this evening. I ask your blessing on Brother Paul afterwards in his message. I pray, Lord, for those that are here, the condition of their soul. Lord, you know what that is, and we often don't. We ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work in the heart and bring life to those that do not know Christ. In your name I pray. Amen. I ask that you'd open your Bibles to John chapter number 3. This last Saturday, our son Benjamin was married. I was to have my part in that, and thinking about that, I even said to them, what can I say to these two people before me? Benjamin, our son, Heather, I guess, my daughter-in-law now, have heard many messages, have heard much counsel, but the thought came to mind that there is nothing new under the sun, but all these old truths are still there and need to be repeated time and time again. If it is because you're old and you forget, or because you're young and you've never heard, or because you're hard-hearted and ignore. But in John chapter 3, verse 3, we'll start. You know the text, you know the story, you may even have it memorized. But it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. It always seems strange to me, but really I suppose shouldn't, that Nicodemus, the studied man that he was, asked the questions that he does and says to Christ, how can a man be born when he is old? That's impossible. Of course, he was thinking of the physical, and I guess I would say, well, that's impossible. Doesn't happen. But he's asking a question, and he's looking at this situation. Christ says, except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, that was what he was looking for, entrance into the kingdom of God. I mean, that was the reason for coming to Christ. That was the reason for this visit in the night. We know you've come from God, and we see what you've done. But how can a man be born when he is old? Then he repeats it again in verse 5, or pretty much the same. But what I want to look at tonight is verse number 6. It says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 6 was really what I want to see, and it's a simple verse that makes two statements that are related, but very much in contrast. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The reason for the visit, as I said, is entrance into the kingdom of God. And this verse gives the reason or the need to be born again. And he concludes it in saying, "Marvel not that I said unto you," or "don't be surprised." Why are you so surprised that I say you must be born again? And the reason that you must be born again, what I'd like to do for a few minutes is look at the flesh. Now, here it is, 10 fingers, the flesh. But we're not really talking about the flesh, what this is, the physical body and what it's made up of. I'm not a doctor. I couldn't tell you what it's made up of. But it's talking about the nature of man. And we all argue over that, or mankind does, and says many things, but the Bible is very clear about what it says about man's nature. I want to look at a few of those things. Last evening, very aptly, was brought out to us some attributes of God. And so we're going to look at some attributes of the flesh. We'll see if there's any relation here. But I hope you can see the reason you must be born again. If you go to the book of Galatians, there's a passage there that we'll read, and then on to Mark, which has pretty much the same. I don't want to just overkill this, but I don't think I can, really. Because we're normally, as human beings, pretty well taken up with ourselves. I'm pretty well satisfied with myself. We get a pretty elevated view of ourselves, and our opinion isn't really very accurate. In chapter number 5, and I'll start in verse 19 just to go directly to it. Later we'll come back and look at something else. But it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." Now that simply means they're seen. I mean, you can see them. They're known. And being that, it ought to be very simple to say, "I know the way men are, you know the way men are," and therefore it should be very obvious that there is a great need to be born again. Because it says here, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are, and then there's a long list, adultery. I hope I say all these words correctly in English. If not, I'll say them in Spanish. You can interpret. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, is I'm saying that correctly?
Revelings.
And such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if you go back to our text in John, that was the reason of the visit. Entrance into the kingdom of God. And here it says that these works of the flesh are manifest, and those, it says, let me go back to where we were, and it says that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, there's a real problem here. Most people just like to think that these things, everything will just kind of blow away and people will forget. And people will forget, but God will not. You will not be judged by me or any other man. You will be judged by a holy and righteous God. In Mark chapter 7, there is another list. We'll go there in case we forgot anything. And I'm sure the list could be even longer, but it says in Mark 7, verse 20, "That which cometh out of the man," that which cometh out of the man. The modern, I guess I would even say modern religion today, says that the problem is not man, the problem is the world. But the problem is man, and that's the reason the world's got a problem. It started with man, didn't start with the world or the creation God made. It started with man. There's the problem. So it says here, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed, and then there's a list. These things come out of the heart of men. Now, young people that are here and children that are here, I'm not talking to people, all these old folks sitting in here, just them. I'm talking to you too. And I know it's hard sometimes to put, I'm not saying anybody's not paying attention, but pay attention. Because the heart of men, sometimes young people think, well, the heart of men, well, there's an old man preaching, it's the heart of men, old men. But that's not what he's talking. He's talking about the heart of men, and that is in Mexico, when you talk about height, you go like this. And even little men. He's talking about the heart of man, heart of mankind, what we're born with, the nature that we were born with. And it says, for from within, out of the heart of men. It's not that nice little place where love is, and there's always a little bit of good down in there. No, it doesn't say that. It says, if you read the list, what comes out of the heart of men, or out of the heart of man, that defileth him. It doesn't raise him up. It brings him down. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things, and they are evil things, come from within and defile the man. Now, all of those things, and it's in a way, I say, I really don't want anyone to think on those things, but there's a problem. I don't have to ask to think on those things. And I'll touch on that in just a minute. But those evil things are in the heart of man. They are there. That which is born of the flesh is what? It is flesh. That's what the verse says. In Romans 8, verse 7, talks of the carnal mind, and it says that it is at enmity with God, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind does not want anything to God, it is not in agreement with God, and it doesn't want to be, and it can't be. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's what it's always going to be. Flesh. You can never put any confidence in it. Young people have a problem with putting confidence in the flesh. Be it their abilities, be it their physical appearance, they put confidence in the flesh. And as you grow older, your knowledge maybe grows, but you still are putting confidence many times in the flesh. But the problem is here, I don't see anything good when it comes to the attributes of the flesh. There isn't anything here that's good. Nothing. In Acts chapter number 3, if you look over there, there's a passage that talks about a miracle that was done. And just in verse number 12, it says, and when Peter saw it, this is after the man was healed, and he's calling everyone's attention to the fact that he's healed. And it says, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Now, there was a miracle done here. And Peter's there, and this miracle's done, and everyone's looking, of course, at Peter, because this man that was healed has got him there. And he's telling it, look, and this is, look, I can walk. But notice Peter's answer.
Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why ye look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? Now the reason I read this is simply this. When we talk of the flesh, many times people talk about, well, that guy's got some power. Well, it's the flesh. There's nothing there. The testimony of the apostle here is, we didn't do this. It is not by us or by our power that this was done. And I'm saying that from a religious point of view, that many times, even in religion, it has to do with the man. Never has to do with the man, but it has to do with our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. That's always and only what it has to do with. The flesh will always be the flesh. Now, I want you to look at something else. The other part of that verse, the second part, talks of the Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And we'll do the same thing. We'll look at a few attributes here. I'm talking about the attributes when the Holy Spirit does a work in a man, the change in the man, the wickedness and the evil that's in the heart of man, the natural man, the carnal man, and then the man that the Holy Spirit has done a work in. I'm going to do this very briefly, but I simply want to say this to bring out a contrast here. In Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, what is in the list in verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, the sins that are in the list, be it in Galatians or Mark or Corinthians, which we didn't read, there is a definite law against those things. The law of God is against those things. There will be a judgment on those things and a condemnation because of those that live in those sins. But here it says, and obviously the lists are completely different. There is nothing in the list that is in Galatians chapter 5 that you'll find in the list, be it in Galatians or Mark or anywhere else in the Bible, about the evil things that come from the heart or the carnal heart, the carnal man. There is a distinct difference. There is nothing in common between the two. The flesh will never become the Spirit. The flesh will never, even the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, now in 15:50, it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now it isn't going to do that. We're not going to step into heaven just like we are. We're not going to step into the presence of God. If death comes, this body will rot in the grave. It'll just rot right there. And when Christ comes and the resurrection, we will be raised in a different body. That is part of the context of, well, it's a big part of the context in 1 Corinthians 15. If we should remain until the Lord comes, this body will be changed. But it will not be this flesh, this carnal Tom. That which is born of the flesh remains flesh. It doesn't ever change. Maybe you say, well, no, wait a minute. People, they get this thing straightened around and start living a different life. And then they get this flesh thing all straightened out. Well, the Bible says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And unfortunately, when it comes to a Christian and his walk in this world, that is probably one of the most discouraging things there is. The flesh is the flesh. In Romans chapter 7, we'll look there. This is a very confusing passage, the way it is written. Most of you know the passage. And I oftentimes read this, and it would almost seem like a crazy man wrote this. Because it says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal and sold under sin." Now let me just say this. A lost man didn't say that. A lost man didn't say it. But this law, this redeemed man here that said this, gives a truth that the law is spiritual, and it is spiritual. I have a little trouble with people say we're just going to throw the law right out. It's spiritual. It's good. It's from God. But he also says, "But I am carnal and sold unto sin." The law is spiritual. The law is good. What's come from God is good and perfect and righteous. But I am carnal and sold unto sin. For that which I do not, that which I, now I'll get confused reading this if I don't watch it. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. Wow. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. He knows the law. He knows the law is spiritual. He knows the law is right. And further down, as we'll finish reading, he affirms the fact that the law is good, and he's thankful for the law, but it is the flesh that gives him the problem. Because the flesh is the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now, I always hope when I preach that all that hear me are born again believers in Jesus Christ. But I truly seldom believe that that's really the situation. But this man, Paul, writing, says, "For I know that in me..." This is Paul. This is Paul. This isn't Tom. If it was me, you'd probably all say, "Well, you know, I know him, and hey, you know, he's not like Paul. He's, you know, he's just some little guy running around there." But this is Paul. And he says, "Now, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Now, that's the way it is. That's the way it was with Paul, and that's the way it is with everyone in this room. There just isn't any good there. There's nothing to grab a hold of. There's nothing to take and to present to God to say, "This is good and this is the reason." There just isn't. You can't grab a hold of anything. A few years ago we had an earthquake in Colima. It was a very strong earthquake. It was 8 on the Richter scale. And so strong that it started out slowly, and as it started just, I even forget now if it was going up and down or oscillatory to the side, but after about 10 seconds, it got very strong. And at first I was telling people, don't just sit still and don't leave the house and all like that. But then when it got strong and everybody wanted to, including me, wanted to get out of the house, you couldn't stand up. You couldn't get out of the house. There was nothing to hang on to that wasn't shaking. It was all going to come down. There wasn't anything there firm. And you look outside and the walls are falling down and everything in the street is moving around and the poles are swaying from side to side. There was nothing firm. And there is nothing in man that you can grab a hold of and say, "This is where I can put my faith. Because this will get me into the kingdom of God." There isn't anything there. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And it will always be that until they put me in the grave and it turns to dust. There's nothing good there. Paul says that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Like I say, it sounds like a crazy man wrote this. I know what's right, and I know what's wrong, and I know I should do right, but I do the wrong. And I tell you, you shouldn't do wrong, but I do wrong. Many times my dad said, "Don't do what I do, don't do what I do, do what I say." Of course, he knew what he was saying to me. Because there is a desire to do this. And you see, the reason this is a redeemed man talking here is because there is no desire in that carnal heart to do right. It's not there. And this man struggling with sin that he hates, because he hates it. You can see that in this scripture. He says, I know it's wrong. It shouldn't be there. It's not what I want. And he says, now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And then he cries out, O wretched man that I am. O wretched man that I am. What a cry. And I would desire that everyone here tonight could understand all of what is said here and come to this same conclusion. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? The flesh. Who can deliver me from this? Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It's not any good. It isn't going to help us out. It isn't where you can put your hope. Too many people today are hoping and thinking and even praying that there's got to be something good in there somewhere. You can learn a lot of things in school. You can get a lot of abilities and you can get them down real well. You can learn to play instruments and have a lot of talent. But all those things, even something that would be good, is turned to evil because of man's heart. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And so he says here, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is only hope in Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no other message, there is no other word, there is no other name given among men and where we might be saved. Jesus Christ. Religion today and religion, whatever it might be, Christian or whatever, pagan. Many, many, many put their hope in churches and religion and ideas and parents and good homes and good teaching and many good things. But there is only hope in Jesus Christ. Paul, a man that knew the law. Paul, a man that knew, well, more than I'll ever know. And yet he comes to this conclusion here, looking at himself in the mirror and saying, "O wretched man that I am." I think as many people have mirrors, one in front and one on each side and one in the back, and make you dizzy if you walk into some people's bathroom with so many mirrors in it. And yet, I see people walk out onto the road and I ask myself, do they have a mirror? Have they looked into it and have they looked to the way they really are? Do they know what people think of them? And you all, just saying that, your mind has gone to someone you've seen walking down the street, very poorly dressed or with hair standing straight up or a very odd color or something. And we've all done that. But you have to ask, and we always ask ourselves, do they know really what they look like? Did they look in the mirror before they walked out of the house? Did they ask anybody, "Well, how about it? What do you think?" I don't know. I don't know what they did, but I do know they look absolutely ridiculous. But be that as it may, walking down the street and having people laugh at you, maybe that's what they want, I don't know. But that's not the problem here. The problem here is that there is a spiritual mirror and they look into it, and as it says in James, they look into it and turn around and they forgot what they look like. And they go on down the road of life thinking that, "Well, I remember when I was a little kid that I used to do things all right, and I obeyed my mom and dad and my teachers at school or whatever, and I was kind of a nice guy, and I still must be that way, and everything should be okay." They went to and they heard a message one time, and a godly and a biblical message, and they heard the way they were, and they walked out the door, and immediately they forgot what it said. This is the flesh. This is what it is. But then they put their confidence in that flesh. And they go through life thinking it's okay. I've got it all figured out and I've got it all taken care of with God. He and I have got this arrangement. Well, you haven't looked in the mirror. You've forgotten what you look like before God. You've forgotten that the wrath of God is poured out upon these people, that there is a judgment, that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. They won't. Their heart is full of sin. There is no life. And the Bible is painfully clear. It says you will not. And it says this is the way you are. And I personally believe, I don't hear it here in the United States as much as I do in Mexico. In Mexico, it is a constant, and especially for me, a constant motive of irritation. We'll put it that way. That's a kind way of saying that. Just makes me mad most of the time. The music and the noise. And you go into almost any part of town. I know when my neighbor is mopping the floor because I can hear the music. And the music goes on all day and the television goes on all day. And I often think that they must turn it on and they must hear all this to live in an imaginary world and never look honestly into the mirror of the scripture of the truth of God, to where they can keep walking in this world in a road that is leading them to destruction. And as a Christian, we look and we say, "How can you not see?" But there is a hope. And there is a great hope. As bad as the flesh is, as depraved as it is, as hateful as it is to God, there is a loving God. And the other side of that verse says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There is hope in Jesus Christ. In Galatians 5, in chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Now, why would he tell a Christian that if the Christian didn't have to deal with the flesh? I mean, why would he say that? If everything's all right, if I don't have to deal with the flesh, I often say to people in Colima, if you're not in the flesh, don't come in. I don't want any spirits floating around in here. If you're in the flesh, come on in. So obviously, you're in the flesh. But it says, and I'll read it again, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." Like there really is a war going on there, isn't there? And sometimes dealing with people and talking with them, and many times believers struggling with the things of God, struggling with the world and where they live, and many times and asking me, if somebody's asking me things I just simply cannot answer, but I oftentimes look at them and say, "No, we don't have a little angel here. We don't have a little perfect man here. But I can tell you this, and it encourages my soul when I can see the work of the Holy Spirit in a life." Now, that person sometimes says, "Man, I'm as lost as I ever was." And they just have a real struggle with things. Then sometimes they'll ask me, "What do you think?" Sometimes I really can't answer the question. But they struggle with it because there is a real and true war going on. The flesh that you have, it says, lusteth against the Spirit, as a born-again believer that you have. There's a battle there. And it's obviously very, very real. It didn't just get over with. I got saved, it's all over with. Everything's perfect. Everything's okay. It's just the devil. It isn't the devil. The devil didn't make you do it. The flesh made you do it. I get quite irritated with some of these churches down there in Colima that are constantly, they can't seem to keep the demons out of people. I don't know what they're doing, but they just can't seem to get it together, because they're always casting out demons and out of Christians and out of the whole world. They're casting these demons out, and they never can get control of the thing. And I say, you don't have to cast the devil out. The flesh is the problem. It's not the devil. Don't give the devil so much credit. I'm not saying the devil isn't around, and I'm saying the devil doesn't do things. I'm simply saying that many times men even look for a refuge in the devil. It's the devil that made me do it. It's not my fault. It's the devil. It's the demon, they'll say. I got to get a demon cast out of me. And they'll go, well, if they're Christian, they'll go to some church that'll do it for them. If they're not, there's a little town called Tamala, about half an hour from Colima, and there's, well, it's the Catholic Church, but they'll do a limpia. It's they'll cleanse you of the spirits now, but they don't do it in a They don't do it in the modern charismatic Christian way. They do it in the old-fashioned witch way. But it's all the same. And in the end, what is the man left with? His flesh. And why does he keep continuing on in the same sin? Because of his flesh. And why does he continue to live without hope? Because of the flesh. That's why. But here, it says for the Christian, For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that they cannot do the things that they would. The flesh and the Spirit are contrary. They're never going to line up. Never. The list, if you wanted to go back and look at the list of the attributes of the flesh are one thing, and the attributes or the fruit of the Spirit is another thing. And they're never going to get together. There's never any relation between the two. The Spirit and the flesh, they are contrary one to another. Why is there evil? Why is there still sin? Why does a Christian still battle with sin? Because you're still here. And you still have the flesh. The old nature does not delight in the law of God. And there is a real battle in the heart of the redeemed. But again, I repeat, there is hope, and only hope, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever you go in this world, whatever language you speak, whatever religion they might have, you can write it down and be confident that you can preach the gospel, because there is no hope there without Jesus Christ. And the people have no hope, and the people in this country have no hope, the people around the corner have no hope without Jesus Christ. There is no other message to preach. There is no other psychology to present. There isn't anything else that will work, because it's all of the flesh. And there's no hope there. There's a lot of subtle things, and the Word of God speaks very explicitly about our heart being deceitful above all things. You cannot confiar. You can't have any confidence in the heart. Only in an unchangeable Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If there is hope, and I guess my concern, my greatest concern is how our heart, our flesh, blinds us so well. If it was something, it's like a red light on top of a hill. Now, to a born again believer, the red light's there, and it's very bright, and you never miss it. It's there. And I would just pray and hope that the Lord Jesus Christ will give you light to see what you really are. You won't like it. I didn't like it. I ran from it. You'll probably do the same thing. But if you're given light to see, Jesus Christ is the only hope. And He will save to the uttermost. There is hope in Christ. And Christian, there is even hope in this world. The flesh is the flesh. And I've got it. You've got it. We've all got it. But even in this world, there is hope in Jesus Christ. Because He is the Almighty God. Let us pray. Lord, I thank You for who You are, for what You've done for sinners like me. I can never forget, and always will be amazed at Your grace, Your mercy, and Your love for a sinner that was so wretched. But thank You, Lord Jesus, for the hope that we have in You. In Christ's name, amen.